Well, I understand that back in 1959, Vancouver had a small country music scene.
Did they really?
It was small.
At what time?
1959.
Had a country music choir, honey?
A small country music scene, you know, a small community of country music musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And that they used to go across the border to Blaine and visit the clubs there?
That's right. That's where I worked, you know, right there in Blaine.
How did you first make contact with the people from Zero Records?
Well, I went down and did the Buck Owens television show. And my husband finally got me on with Buck Owens. And I sang Whispering Sea. And Mr. Burley from Vancouver, Canada, was watching the Buck Owens TV show. And I sang, I sat down by the sea, and he whispered to me, it brought back an old love affair that used to be. And of course, he'd lost his wife.
Yes.
And he lived by the sea up there. And that's how I got the recording contract. He said I had to record that song.
Was there an important meeting at a chicken coop in Vancouver?
Yes, there was. That's where there was a big chicken coop, and they had cleaned it out and fixed it up where you could play country music, you know. If you wanted to dance, you could dance. If you wanted to sing, you could sing, whatever you wanted to do. And that's, I've played there many times.
Who was there? You say many times you played there.
Yeah, many times.
Wow.
It was just a bunch of us artists that was just learning to play the guitar and starting to sing. It was just, that was all it was.
Was there a particular person who invited you to the chicken coop?
I don't think so. I think I just went on. I think I just busted up a crowd, you know.
Sure, sure. Just showed up, eh?
I just showed up.
Do you remember a guy named Johnny Zapp?
Yes, I do.
Could he have invited you?
I don't know. I can't. That's been 50 years ago, and it's hard to remember every little detail, you know.
I know. It's been a while.
I love Vancouver.
Where did you first meet Don Grashey and Chuck Williams?
That they had that little label. They were the ones that Mr. Burley had hired, I think, to take care of that little label. And Don Grashey was with me when I recorded Whispering Sea.
Oh.
Yeah, he went down to Los Angeles with me, and we cut the Zero songs. Yeah.
Wow.
We cut the whole album.
You don't remember meeting Don Grashey and Chuck at the Chicken Coop?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, not. I don't think I did at the Chicken Coop. I don't know how I met him, but I think, I can't remember that.
So you and Don Grashey, you were down in Hollywood to record Honky Tonk.
We went to Hollywood to record the Zero album.
Right.
Sure did.
And did that recording session, did it go smoothly? Did Don have everything set up for you?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't me. When they said sing, I sang.
Yeah.
That was about it, you know. I don't remember all the little details. But the guy, what really shocked me was the guy that producing the record. His name was Ted, and that was my daddy's name. So I always remember that, you know. I lived in Washington, right next to the Canadian border, and my daddy was 3,000 miles away, so I was missing mommy and daddy, you know.
Yes.
So I remember him being named Ted.
Ted, you say producing the record.
He was the one that did recording it, you know, for me, for Don, I think it was Don Grashey that was with me. I'm not sure.
Oh, Ted was in the studio producing?
Ted was the one that was doing the, producing it.
The sound engineering?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Not a guy named...
That's what you'd call him.
Okay.
Like Owen Bradley recorded me for Decca Records.
Sure.
Don Grashey, I think, was the one that did the Zero record.
You know, Don Grashey wrote a book about his life.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Well, I didn't know that.
And he writes about you in there, and he says that that first recording.
Well, how will I get one of these books?
I might be able to get one for you.
That would be great.
Yeah, there aren't many copies around because Don just self-published it for friends and family. But if I can get a copy, I'll get it to you.
Oh, that'd be great.
And but yeah, Grashey writes that that first recording session you did for Zero went relatively smoothly. Speedy West was there.
Speedy West. rest is on steel guitar.
And then Don says he resigned from Zero Records, and you did another recording session for the label.
Well, then that must have been the album that we got finished or something.
Oh, yeah?
See, I don't remember all of this.
It's so long ago.
Yeah, it's so long ago, and I was just a kid, and I was just excited, you know? So you don't remember everything, but it was funny that I remembered Norm Burley, the guy from Vancouver, Canada.
Uh-huh.
And he was a nice guy. Well, there was two or three others that was in on the label, but I think one of the names was Ted again.
Oh, okay, so you must be thinking of Ted Kerluck.
Yeah.
And his wife, Ann.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's who it is.
Well, good for you. That's amazing that you're able to remember that.
Do you believe that? I can't believe that, because it's funny. There was one, too. Let me see. Don and Ted. I can't remember all of them, but I'd sit down and think for a while, and it'll come up, you know, the names will come up.
Sure.
But it was great, you know. I would have been better off. I'm saying this from my heart. I loved Washington, and I loved Vancouver. And I wouldn't have cared if I'd made it or not. After I got started, I told my husband, I said, I want to move back to Washington, you know.
Mm.
I want to go back.
Mm.
And, of course, he hated it, too, that we were in the business. And he said it was the worst mistake he ever made. But he had all the money in the world to spend, and that was something we didn't have in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him both worked. I picked strawberries. I hoed strawberries. I worked from the time spring started coming around till fall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the thing that bothered me the most is I left 3,000 quarts of canned stuff when I left to come back to Washington. I mean, to Tennessee.
Oh, that's funny.
No, that was bad.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It bothered me more than anything.
It did, eh?
Yeah, because I worked awfully hard to can all that stuff.
Of course.
I didn't have to walk off and leave it, you know.
And you were good at it, too, I hear. You actually won a prize for canning.
Yeah, I won first, come in first. And everybody that I was canning with, they were all old women.
Yeah.
And here I'm just 16 or 17 years old, and I win the canning deal. First time I ever canned. Yeah. I was so thrilled they gave me a set of dishes. The dishes wasn't much because they'd break every time you turned around.
Sure.
But $25. They gave me $25 for coming in first. And that was a lot of money to me.
Nice.
I had four little kids. I have six now, but I had four at that time.
Yes. So you were... did things happen fairly quickly for you after the record came out for Zero Records?
Well, the record, I think it went to number 9 across the nation, but you couldn't get it. Nobody knew how to get it, and I couldn't tell anybody how to get it, you know.
Mm.
I was dumb when it comes to stuff like that, and it was hard. And, of course, Zero Records, they didn't know. Probably just out of... He just took a notion to record me when he heard that song.
Mm.
And that's how we got started. But I always, I never, at one time, ever hated that I was on Zero Records.
Good.
Because the people that had Zero Records were very nice people.
Mm.
And I loved them, and.
Did you get the feeling that Zero Records had already recorded some artists when you joined them?
They had recorded a couple other people, but I don't know if they'd done anything or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get into that part of the business.
Mm.
But I did know that they recorded a couple more people. But I don't think that they hit the charts or nothing. I'm not sure.
So Norm Burley, he didn't start Zero Records specifically to record you?
No. They already had the label. And, because they had two other people on the label.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don Grassi writes in his book that he first saw you at the Chicken Coop.
Well, maybe he did.
You don't recall him introducing himself to you there?
No, I don't. I don't remember that. But he could have. I won't say he's lying, because he could have.
I live in Vancouver. I live right across the lane from where the Chicken Coop used to stand.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No kidding.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding. It's right across the lane from where I'm living now. And even though the chicken coop is gone, the little property still looks kind of wild and rural.
And, oh, you're kidding.
And there's a little bungalow on the property that looks kind of rustic and, I don't know, a bit like a farmer's cottage. And the Vancouver Heritage Foundation is going to create and install a commemorative plaque to put near the former location of the chicken coop.
Well, that would be great. I wish I could be there.
Yeah, they're going to honor you and the fact that you performed there and the fact that that's where Zero Records first heard of you.
Well, I sure made my... let people know I was there when I got there. And they played music behind me, and they asked me what key I sang Whispering Sea in, and I figured it out, and they played it. And, of course, I stayed up there and sang a couple songs. And, no, I didn't know that. But I know I went to the place where the little chicken coop was.
Was that the most unusual venue you ever played in?
No, not really. I thought it was a nice place at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. No, I played worse places, I'll tell you that. When I first got started and I was working in Texas, you know, they was giving me $25 to $50 a night. And they'd take me to one little tavern and then to another little tavern for $50 a night, you know. And they wouldn't even have a stage. I'd have to sing on the bar and play my guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for a year before I ever really got going. It wasn't an easy thing.
Yeah. Can I run some other chicken coop names by you? Some musicians who might have been there when you were there?
Okay.
Do you remember Evan Kemp?
Oh, yeah. Evan had... Evan recorded with somebody. I don't know who he was recording for.
Yeah,
he might have recorded for Zero. I know there was a girl by the name of Velvet, Blue Velvet or something like that.
That's not right.
There was a girl singer.
There was a girl singer.
Huh?
Yeah, there definitely was a girl singer.
Yeah, and she yodeled.
Yeah.
And I can't remember her real name.
Oh, she yodeled. Shirley Field.
That's it.
There's a photo of Shirley Field in your book. Did you know that?
Well, that's her.
You guys should put a caption under that photo that identifies her.
Yeah.
She'd get a real kick out of it. Yeah. Yeah, Shirley Field is still alive, and she remembers you well.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Yeah, she yodeled. But there was another girl singer, too.
For Zero Records.
Didn't yodel, and they called her Blue Velvet or Velvet or something like that.
Okay.
Which wasn't a real name. Shirley might remember. Ask her she's a little blonde.
A little blonde, okay.
I don't know if she's a real blonde or if there's a fox-eyed blonde, but she was a blonde.
It wasn't Myrna Laurie, was it?
You know, I can't remember her real name.
Okay. I'm sorry, was she country or was she pop?
I think she was trying to sing country.
Okay.
I think. Now, Shirley Fields might remember that.
Okay, I'll check with her. Do you remember...
Is Dawn Grassy still around?
Dawn passed away in 2005.
You're kidding me.
And so did Chuck Williams.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But he had a long career, and like I say, he wrote this book, and he got it all down in there.
And, bless his heart.
Yeah. And
everybody up there was very nice. There was a woman that owned some of the stock in Zero Records called Annette, I think. Annette and Bob. Love.
You're right.
Annette and Bob Love.
Bob and Nettie.
You got it.
Bob and Nettie Loving.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow, your memory's great.
I can't believe I remembered them.
Now, they lived in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so I heard that sometimes you'd come up to Vancouver and you'd stay at their house.
Well, I might have. I can't remember all that because I didn't get to come, you know, they didn't book country music out that way as much as they should have, you know.
Yeah.
And last year, I was booked to come out that way. And doggone it, about 6 weeks before I was supposed to come out there, I got pneumonia.
Oh, no.
And the doctor said, no, you're not going to be traveling this time, so I had to stay home. But I was coming to, when I come out that way, I'm coming to Vancouver.
Please do.
I will. I didn't know there was a Vancouver, Washington. So, in one trip out there, we didn't get to go to Vancouver, Canada, but they had me booked in Vancouver. So I thought it was Vancouver, Canada. So I got up on the stage and said, I'm sure glad to be here in Vancouver, Canada, because I sure love it.
Oh, no.
Somebody from my audience said, Loretta, you're in the wrong town. I said, ain't this Vancouver? They said, yeah, but it's Washington.
Oh, my goodness.
I was embarrassed to death.
Do you remember Taller O'Shea?
Yeah.
And a guy named Hank the Hobo?
Yeah. I ain't believing I remember all these people.
These were chicken coopers. These guys would have played at the chicken coop.
Yeah. There was a bunch of them. I'm telling you, I wasn't the only one thing at that chicken coop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really a neat little thing. And then when I got my job at in Blaine, Washington, I was making, I think it's $12 a night. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's with you and the Trailblazers?
Yep.
Now, did you guys come
Where did you get that name?
Which name? Trailblazers?
Trailblazers.
Oh, that's well known. Everybody.
Well, that's what I had. I had my brother and my steel guitar player and me. I played barcore rhythm. My brother played the lead guitar and he played fiddle. And Smalley played the steel guitar. And that was the band, the Trailblazers.
And Smalley was good friends with a Canadian named Ernie Straighten.
That's right, and you know, he married a Canadian girl.
Smalley did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Her folks were from Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ernie Straighten was played at the Chicken Coop with Hank the Hobo.
Well, do you remember, does anybody remember, what's his last name now? Wait just a minute. He was a fiddle player. O'Connor. Bill O'Connor.
Oh, I don't know that name, no.
Yeah, he played fiddle.
Okay.
Well, I'll be daggone.
Bill O'Connor, he was Canadian?
No, he wasn't Canadian, but he lived around the border.
Okay.
And every now and then he'd play, he'd come and sit in on my show, you know, when we were singing at Bill's Tavern in Blaine.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, we had a great crowd from Canada. It didn't make no difference what was going down. But one time, I went to work, and there was nobody hardly there in the building. So I said to the guy that had me hard to play and sing, I said, hey, where's everybody at? And he said, well, this is Lent.
Oh,
I said, Lent, what's that? And he said, that's all the Catholics. All the Catholics believe this is a time that they shouldn't be out. They do whatever they can do what they want to, but whatever they love the most, they got to not do it for a month. And I said, well, golly, I didn't know people loved me so well, because we didn't have anybody for a month. Thank goodness for Canada.
Where was that at?
It was in Blaine.
In Blaine, yeah.
Yeah, but as always, the people from Canada are the one that stuck it out with me while I was just started. I mean, they're the ones that started me. And I don't fail to tell anybody or nobody, you know, anywhere, that Canadian people is the one behind me.
Do you remember what year you started?
61.
What year you started playing in front of audiences?
60.
60?
In 61, I come back here. Well, I had my record out about 5 months before I come back here.
Right.
And, but Mr. Burley and all the ones that own that little label, I guess maybe the reason I can remember Mr. Burley, he was the one that they would have a meeting and he would sit down and talk to my husband and me about what he thought that we should do, you know.
Mm.
And he told me, he said, now, Loretta, I want to tell you something. He said, if you get back there to Tennessee and somebody offers you a better deal or anything like that and wants you to record for them, said, I'll turn you loose from my contract. And you know he did.
That's amazing.
I know. The Woodman Brothers bought the album, because I'd done a whole album for them, you know. And, of course, it wasn't released at that time,
right.
The album.
Right.
And the Woodman Brothers bought it. Then they turned around and sold it to Decca Records. So they made a lot of money, but I don't think people from Zero made that much out of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Norm Burley was a special guy.
Yes, he was. Well, they all were nice people, you know.
So
I can't remember anything bad about any of them.
When you went down to Hollywood, you did two recording sessions for Zero?
I think it did.
Were they both?
The first ones, I think, was Honky Tonk Girl.
Yep.
Whispering Sea.
Yep.
And two more, but I can't remember exactly what they were.
And then the next time you went down, you did about, what, six or so other songs?
Yeah, we did, we finished the album.
Were both recording sessions in the same studio?
I think so.
Western Recorders on Sunset Boulevard?
I think that's it. And Ted was the one down there that, named Ted, that was the producer of the record. Of course, I shouldn't say the producer, because Don Grashey was the producer. And they had hired this guy from that company, him and his guys, to you know, make the record. But Don was the one that made sure that he picked the right songs and stuff.
Grashey says the sound engineer or whatever was a guy named Don Blake, I think.
No, the one I remembered was Ted, because that was my daddy's name.
Oh, okay.
So maybe there was another guy in the studio, too. I don't remember them all, you know. That was impossible for me. I could remember the ones from Canada, but not down there, you know?
Yeah, yes. And so the first recording session Don Grashey set up for you, do you think that went smoothly?
Well, you know, I was just a silly little girl. I don't remember. To tell you the truth, that would have been up to Don and them, whether it went good or not. But seems to me like it, the first session, well, we just went right through four songs, you know.
Mm.
We didn't, like now when you go in to record, they'll make you do it over four or five times.
Mm.
And I don't think we did that. I think when we got the words and the melody down good and the musicians was good, well, I think that they just threw it out.
And the second time you went down to Hollywood, Don Grashey had already resigned from Zero Records, so he wouldn't be there with you.
But I don't remember who took his place.
Is it possible you and your husband went down by yourselves?
I don't remember. I don't think so, but I could be wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when I got down there, I watched out for the steel player.
Speedy West?
Speedy West. And I think I had Speedy take care of the pickers. Now, I think that's how it went. I don't remember. You know, that's something I can't remember all the little details.
Yes. Yeah. Well, your memory is sharp. It seems to be as sharp as a tack.
Oh, yeah. Just because you get older, it don't mean you're nuts. It just means you're getting older.
Norm Burley lived up the coast from Vancouver in a little village called Seashelled.
Yeah, he had, you know, I think he was in the logging business, wasn't he?
Yes.
Well, see? Can't tell you nothing, can I?
You still got it.
I remember that.
Have you ever seen a photograph of the chicken coop?
No, I haven't. If I had one, I'd have put it in the book or something, you know. But I didn't have one.
I only have one photo of the chicken coop, and it was taken from a passing airplane.
Okay, where was the steel guitar player up there that always was playing in the chicken coop? What was his name?
Oh.
You remember any of them?
No, I don't. Steel guitar.
Well, you know, Annette and Ted may know. Or Annette and Bob.
Yeah, unfortunately, they've passed on.
Well, that's what you told me, wasn't it? They passed away.
Yeah.
Darn, I thought we were all about the same age.
Ray Chamberlain, do you remember him? He was one of the investors for Zero.
Yes, I do.
And his brother, Les Chamberlain.
I don't remember that one. Was he in on the record deal too?
He put a little bit of money in for Zero, yeah. And,
well, they were all very nice people, because I know that Norm Burley never did come down to Bill's Tavern to see me, but everybody that was in on that record, you know, just about everyone that owned a part of that record company, they were down there about every weekend to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure, you know, that I was being treated right and all this and that. They were very nice people. Mm. If you get to talk to Annette and Bob, tell them I certainly remember. Oh, they passed away, didn't they?
They did, unfortunately, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, their kids are still alive. So I could pass that message on to their kids.
That's right.
Tell them that you say
and
hi.
There was another one. Her husband spent some time in he was in the army, and I think it's Japanese.
Mm.
Got a hold of him to put him in the prison for so long.
That was Ted. That was Ted.
That?
Ted Kerluck.
All right, you're right.
Yes, he was in the Japanese POW.
That might be why I've been saying Ted, because I do know that I cried when he told me.
That's a sad story.
Yeah, it was. It was awful.
But I understand that, you know, 10 to 15 years after that incident, he was able to get his life back together again.
Yeah.
Enough to continue on.
That's right. But he never was. His wife said their name. What was her name? Paula?
Anne.
Who's Paula now?
Polly Chamberlain was Les's wife.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, can you believe this? I'm coming up with all these names.
All these names?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, I have to have a list in front of me to know these names.
Isn't that something? But we talked about, I think it was the Japs that had him in prison, wasn't it?
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's what he told me.
Yeah.
And his wife said that he never was really well after that, you know. He always, whatever come along, he caught it, you know.
Yes.
The cold was going around, he got the cold, you know. But his immune system was down. And you can, you know, that's not hard to figure out, is it?
No, that makes sense.
No, because he starved to death. They tried to starve him to death.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I didn't actually know that, but I would imagine the stress from being incarcerated would just, you know, wreck havoc with one's immune system.
But it's weird that I remember all about these people that was in on this label.
Isn't it?
It is. It really is. Because I didn't get to talk to them much, you know. They were doing the business, and I did everything I could to help them, you know.
Do you still have your original contract that you signed with Don Grashey?
Yes.
That's great.
I sure do.
Do you display that in your museum?
Yes.
Nice.
It is.
They'll have to come see it someday.
That's right. It's in my museum.
And Don Grashey's copy is in the Canadian Country Music Association Hall of Fame Museum.
Bless his heart.
In Calgary, Alberta.
In Calgary?
Yeah.
I went to Calgary to watch the Calgary Stampede one time.
Oh, yeah?
There's nothing like that.
I haven't been.
You haven't been?
No.
And you're Canadian.
I know.
What's going on here?
I've got some, I better go this summer, I guess.
Well, there's nothing like it. You need to go. and there's not much of that stuff going on anymore, you know.
Loretta, can I read you a couple sentences that we're going to put on the plaque to go near the chicken coop? We're going to write the country music legend Loretta Lynn was discovered in 1959 by record executives from the small Vancouver label Zero. When they heard her sing at a backyard jam session in the chicken coop. The musicians' gathering was held in a large chicken coop that the property owners, Mac McGregor and his wife Irene, had converted to a dance hall. A local...
I remember them, too.
You remember Mac and Irene?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I didn't think you would remember them because they were just sort of the property owners.
Well, I wasn't anything either. I didn't even own the property.
Did you go inside their little house?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Sure do.
That's great. Do you remember their property being near any landmarks or geographical features?
Seems like I do, but I don't remember what it was. I can't remember everything, you know. It's just... hit and run, you know.
How many times do you think you were at the chicken coop?
Well, about 2 to 3 times.
Yeah.
I think.
And anyways, the plaque will go on to say that a local promoter named Johnny Zapp invited Loretta, who was living across the border in Custer, Washington, to attend. I hope I got that right about Johnny Zapp. Johnny Zapp passed away, but his ex-wife, Appy, is still alive.
Didn't he play steel guitar?
No, he played drums.
Okay, I knew he was in the band.
He was a party animal, that guy.
Okay.
So he had to be on drums.
Yeah, he had to be on drums.
And Zero President Don Grashey and his business partner Chuck Williams thought that you had potential, and by the summer of 1960, your first single, I'm a Honky Tonk Girl, was climbing the charts.
I know the other song that I recorded that time. I think it was New Rainbow, and Hello, Mr. Lonesome. Do you have any news? Come on in, Mr. Hardy, and meet old Mr. Blue. I wrote all these songs, too, and that's weird. I was sitting down and I was writing them fast, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that I was writing so many songs, and I, you know, I didn't ever dream I'd ever be writing one.
I'm trying to look up to find out exactly what those titles were of those other songs.
New Rainbow?
Yeah, I think you've got it. I think that's correct.
And Whispering Sea. Oh, you've got that one. Let me think.
That's right. New Rainbow and Heartache Meets
Heartache
Mr. Blues.
Mr. Blues. Well, that's weird. I can't remember all the songs now. It's on the album. I've cut so many now that I'm kind of getting... Well, I can't remember, you know, which album or anything.
Gonna pack my troubles?
Well, I'll pack my troubles in a big suitcase and dump them in the deep blue sea. Yep.
And Darkest Day?
Darkest Day of My Life? Yes, that was one of the other songs I cut the first time.
Hmm.
I think. I could be wrong, but I think it was.
I like it when you sing. I don't often interview people who break out into song in the middle of the interview. That's very nice. So, Loretta, that's what we're going to do. We're going to put that plaque near the former site of the chicken coop, and and the people up here, I think, will get a kick out of that.
Alrighty.
And if you'd like, I can send you some information about what we're up to, and maybe a photo.
I think it was 60, wasn't it? Instead of 59?
It was February 1st, 1960, when you signed the contract with Zero Records.
Okay, that's what I was talking about.
So, yeah. I'm guessing that you were at the chicken coop in 59.
No, I think, and I'm not sure, that Mr. Bully saw me sing Whispering Sea on the Buck Owens show.
Okay.
And then when I went to, I'm sure that this is kind of the way it went, and I went to the chicken coop to sing, you know, and we was partying. Don and him were there, and that's where he probably come over and wanted to know if I would like to record.
Okay.
You know, and Don didn't own any of that Zero Records, did he?
That's correct.
I didn't think he did.
There
was one more guy about the age of Don that was helping in that record, but I can't think of the name of it.
I'm sorry, another guy the same age as Don?
About the same age.
That was Chuck Williams.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to write a book about this, won't we?
There's enough information here to write a book.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of information staying in that book. We could write another book.
So which do you think came first? Did Don Grashey meet you at the chicken coop first, or did Norm see you?
I think Norm seen me singing on the... and they might have been talking to him, you know, everyone that owned, you know, owned a part of that record label.
Yeah.
And they might have been talking to Mr. Burden and said, hey, you know, this girl's a good singer. She's singing in Blaine every night, you know, and maybe we should record her. I don't know, but I remember Mr. Buddy telling me that he just had lost his wife.
Yes.
And he was real lonesome and everything, and he said, we live by the sea. He did. He lived in Vancouver somewhere there by the sea.
That's right. Seashelled, yeah.
Yeah, and he told me, what'd you call it?
Seashelled.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'll be gone gone. Well, he said he lived by the sea, and he said, there's a big old rock out in front of my house, and since she's been gone, I go out there every night and sit on that rock and talk to her.
So he had a special connection to your song, Whispering Sea.
Yes, he did. That's what he told me. And he said, when I seen you sing your song, I had to record you.
But where it gets tricky is Don Grashey, in his book, he says that he brought you to the attention of Norm Burley.
Well, I just know what Norm told me, you know.
Yeah. I think what happened is Norm did see you on TV, but I don't think Norm knew what to do about it. And I think that when Don delivered you to him, Norm said,
yeah,
I remember.
Since he owned some of the record label, why, Don probably said, have you heard that little girl that's singing in Blaine? I kind of think maybe that's how it happened. And he said, yes, I've seen her on television or something. Maybe they did bring it to his attention, and he watched me.
Yes.
That might be it, but I sold him on Whispering Sea.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Oh, well, Loretta, this has been absolutely delightful. I'm so glad you're willing to reminisce about this stuff, because I've been researching this for quite a while.
Well, bless your heart. Well, Rob, when I get out that way, I'll come and see you.
Thank you very much.
I was going to ask you how... Hey, Tim, come here and get this address, honey. I have Tim get the address down for me.
Thank you, Loretta.
So I can send you some stuff.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be
he
wonderful.
He might not want it, but you're going to get it.
Okay.
put Rob's address down so we can send him some stuff. Well, honey, it's nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you, Loretta.